Okay, let's get to Gould.
Let's get to Derek Gould, who joins us right now. And Derek, of course, is brought to you by our friends at GFI Digital. Time to talk some Cardinals with the man who covers them for the Post-Dispatch, Derek Gould. Good morning, Derek. How are you?
I'm good, gentlemen. How are you?
Doing well. Luke Weaver put him in position last night. Just fantastic outing for him.
Yeah, tremendous performance. Exactly what they needed. I mean, he threw a career-high 7 innings, tied a career-high with 10 strikeouts. Wobbled. I mean, really never. I mean, I guess he got into a base loaded spot with a walk and hit batter, but, you know, was always in control of it and showed that he can do a lot of different things to get guys out. I mean, I think, you know, his start yesterday stood in such stark contrast to some of his previous starts, but also the starts we've seen from some of these young guys to come up from Memphis. I mean, there was little doubt as he faced that lineup for a third time that he had something new to show him. And, you know, they're taking one of the ways that you can kind of see that is all the called third strikes that they had. And, you know, that meant that they were aware and had to be ready for his off-speed stuff. And then he popped him with a fastball. And then his last pitch was an off-speed pitch that, you know, the batter was clearly saying, well, you're going to try to pop me with a fastball, jump it, and then couldn't hit the off speed. So it was a very, very reassuring and emphatic performance, I thought, for Weaver.
I guess the big question that everyone has now that we know for certain that Trevor Rosenthal is going to have Tommy John is how do they handle closing out games? We've already discussed it. I don't think it's any breaking news that a lot of people feel that Tyler Lyons is the guy that should get the bulk of that work.
Seconded? Or thirded? Or what? Yes,
fourthed.
Fourthed.
It's one thing to say, you know, it's one thing to say, yeah, we're going to, you know, do it by situation and closer by committee. And I know that that has worked at times in the past, but generally speaking, I can think of Cardinal teams in the past that have had closer by committee in a sense. That was probably a little before closing became such a specialty.
Before it started paying money.
Yeah, yeah. My point is it generally works out better when you have one guy who you know in that situation is going to get the ball.
Yeah, yeah. Closer's a little bit like quarterback, right? If you say you have two of them, you don't have one of them. Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's sort of the comparison. And, you know, Tyler Lyons has pitched exceptional. I mean, if you're ranking the Cardinals relievers over the past month, you're ranking Rosenthal first for what he did and then Lyons second. And, you know, the prominence of Tyler Lyons in the bullpen has been a long time coming and is long overdue on why it took this long, and when I say long, I don't mean 2017, I mean years. Why it took so long for him to have a larger role, I'm not sure I'll ever understand. He really never did anything that didn't deserve a late inning role. He just kept being able to throw multiple innings, which is something that other lefties couldn't do. You know, so he got relegated to that role, and we all know that that's a role that rarely gets used. I mean, it's like they purposefully stay away from that role. So in some ways, it's justice that Tyler Lyons is needed now for such an important spot, and that he's earned it, because to my eye, he's earned a high leverage role for several years now, and has done nothing wrong to dissuade it. And I think, I'm eager to see what he does with it. I'm eager to see if he rises to the occasion. I understand exactly where Martini's coming from, that the ninth inning just feels a little different, that the gravity of the final three outs is greater than the outs before it. That's true. It's a little bit of a self-fulfilling prophecy. If you say it enough times, then relievers believe it. Then they go to the mound and they believe it. So you can't argue him off of it. But how a guy adjusts to that and how a guy rises to that and how a guy deals with, you know, the first time he struggles in that. I mean, we've all seen pitchers react differently, from Jason Mott to Ryan Franklin to Mitchell Boggs to Sungwan Oh. And I think it'll be real. I think the Cardinals will learn a lot about what their bullpen will look like for next year with how Tyler Lyons does in the closer role this year.
They may have an issue with who's had a couple rough outings in a row. What do you see has been his problem here lately?
Well, mostly it's left-handed batters, but in a global perspective, it's his slider. It's just not been as effective as he's used to in his career. It hasn't had the same bite there. There could be any number of reasons for that. He's had to tinker a little bit with his timing. He's really searched for the feel for that pitch. But, you know, if it comes and goes, then so does his success because he's being used in such short bursts. So he goes out there for one inning, and if it's not there for him, he's not going to get that second inning to find the feel for it like a starter would.
Let me ask you this, Mr. Legit Journo. Your sense of whether or not Mike Leake will get his start this weekend or if they go with, a young talent from the minors?
I think conversation is building for them to consider alternative. Well, I know they're already considering alternative, for them to go with an alternative.
And that would be Flaherty, the guy everyone wants to take a look at.
So I was told yesterday, because Flaherty has a lot of innings, right? He's thrown 140 innings, and that's quite a bit. And that also tells you how good he's been, to be honest. And so I was wondering if, you know, their season ends in September, and here the Cardinals are, they're going to have to play September, you know, regardless of where it ends for them, they'll have to play it out. You know, is that a no-go for Flaherty because you're talking about adding on an additional four starts or a certain amount of innings? And I was told that, you know, they don't want him to get to, and he is not there yet. They are aware of it and that he is in play for a promotion.
See, my guess is even if they're not in it any longer, they might bring him up just so he's around it a little bit because obviously they believe that that's where his future is. Don't you think there's a benefit by him, even if they're not asking him to start as much? I'm not saying that won't happen or they won't be in contention. I'm saying either way, they would like him up just to be around it, don't you think?
I that may be the case. That may be how they're thinking. If you were to ask my opinion of it, I think it only makes sense to bring him up if you're contending. You know, he's a guy who does not have to be added to the 40-man roster, can make the team out of spring training next year as a non-roster invitee, or can start the year off the roster in AAA. And just for the management of his options, which you hope isn't a big deal, but there's been examples of players that you also hope isn't a big deal. And I think the lesson there is Marco Gonzalez, right? One of the reasons why Marco Gonzalez was traded this year, and granted they could get a bat for it, but one of the reasons why the Cardinals were open to trading him is because he's out of options. And the reason why he's out of options is because he was added to the 40-man, you know, within 12 months of being drafted, and then went back and forth and back and forth and back and forth and really never got that hook in the majors like, say, Michael Wacha did. And there are far more examples that are similar to Marco Gonzalez who are talented pitchers, but because of their role or because of the team needs or because of the team's contracts elsewhere, get optioned out, and those go fast. All of a sudden they can go fast, and then a team is kind of blocked a little bit. Now you hope that doesn't happen with Flaherty, and he probably has the talent to maybe get here and stay, or get here and go down once and then come back and stay. All those things are possible. But if they're not in contention, then I think you probably let the rules, as boring as that sounds and as bean counting as that sounds, guide your hand more than the standings. But if they're in it, and they're in it, I mean, they're closer to the wild card now than they are the division race, so they're in it. This National League just won't let them free. You know, then I think it makes sense to go with the best you got, and it's hard to see an argument where Flaherty isn't one of the best they got.
Would John Gant be the guy they'd call up if they decide to go with another starter?
Yep. yeah, he would be in. He would be another guy who's on the 40-man and would be the easier move.
Rather than Dakota Hudson, who might be a year away, is that how you see it? Or is he more than that?
I think Dakota Hudson could be 5 minutes away. Mm. Or what's the flight to Memphis?
Well, yeah. More than 5 minutes, but...
Okay, a little more than five
probably
minutes.
Six,
the Eclipse has
minutes.
Me all messed
30,
up.
30, maybe.
Travel, I don't know.
30 minutes.
Okay, well,
he's that good, though, huh?
I mean, the things that I hear about Dakota Hudson, I'll give you guys a little thing that, you know, we were doing in the press box, we were doing the Barstool chatter about who should be the closer. And, you know, Hockman was talking about Lyons, which he wrote about in the paper today. Fredrickson was digging into the numbers, you know, and looking at sort of a more widespread options. And Hummel asked me, well, who do you think would be closing? I go, I mean, Dakota Hudson, that's fine. I mean, the things I hear about Dakota Hudson,
yeah. But I thought you thirded when we said Tyler Lyons. Didn't you second, third?
No, I prefer Tyler fourth, Lyons because yeah. He's here, and it makes most sense, and he's earned it. But, you know, I'm just throwing it out there that because he's talented, and the descriptions I've heard of him is he has the things that a really successful reliever has in this league, and he can do it consistently. Now, you know, you're into that whole starter reliever debate, but to answer Doug's question, I mean, I think Dakota is that talented. I think he's very good. He and Flaherty and Sandy Alcantara does have to be added to the 40 man. And it's worth noting that he appeared in relief yesterday. So he's been starting all year and then got a couple innings of relief yesterday. So that's worth noting as they manage his innings, but also, you know, they're looking at what he can do in that role and have always talked about what it would be like to have 102 out of the bullpen at some point in time.
I like that. That's intriguing.
Those are all the things that are in play, but I just wanted to answer Doug's question about Dakota Hudson. I think he's really talented, and I think these three guys, you know, all present different kinds of options for a Cardinals team that is looking for some sort of pitching, some sort of lightning bolt to bring balance to both the rotation and the bullpen.
And that is what they need. Whether or not they make any kind of move to be, you know, if they play really well and this thing goes down to the wire, great. But I think what is in the back of a lot of people's minds, Derek, is how does this team set up the next couple of years? I mean, you know, is this just a little bump in the road, not being as good as they were, or is this a trend?
Well, the trend is backsliding.
Yep.
You know, I think we've gone through this before, but it's almost one that we should all have memorized. 2013 World Series, 2014 NLCS, 2015 NLDS, 2016 out of the playoffs, 2017 third place.
Yep.
That's the trend.
Let me ask you.
Not the right direction.
No. Let me ask you about Adam Wainwright, who had an injection and is basically waiting for it to take effect. If, and there's a lot of ifs here, Luke Weaver pitches well, things are solidified in the rotation, it'll be a while since Wainwright is removed from a start. Is there any chance we could see him in a bullpen role just because that's really where they need him? And if he has issues, it's going to be less wear and tear on on the things that are bothering him?
Yeah, entirely possible. Could even be likely. You know, when he comes back, it'll be September. The rosters will be expanded. There's going to be ample support there. You know, I asked what was it in Pittsburgh? I guess Williamsport, one of the cities, or I guess towns. If Wainwright comes back and he's not going to have the time to build up his arm, could they use him in a bullpen role? Mo. Mosellak said, well, you have to be concerned about using him on back-to-back days and always having him ready. And I asked why. You got September. You can have, you know, I mean, they like to have a lot of relievers out there. They can have 11 out there if they want. So you wouldn't need him on back-to-back days. And Mosellak said, well, if he has a prominent role, then you want him on those days. Yeah, but you know, if you have him as an effective guy every other day, that's still better than what you got right now. So, I mean, it's definitely something that they will consider. It's definitely something that they'll look at. And it's something that, you know, to be honest, Wainwright has been open about. You know, he just wants to find a way to contribute.
Derek, you mentioned Flaherty if they're still in the race, and we just talked about the bullpen. Bowman, I don't know, maybe overuse, but he hasn't looked that great.
Maybe.
Okay, well, I'd give him the benefit of the doubt. The September call-ups, who do you foresee maybe being added to the bullpen and maybe a bat or two?
It's going to be a lot of the usual suspects, right, for the bullpen. I mean, you've seen, Lucas up. You could see that. Don't know what they'll do with Myers. There's a lot of trying to figure out what goes awry for him in the majors that isn't there in AAA. It's going to be mostly guys that they've cycled through. I would have said Sheriff, but Sheriff is here already. Seager still come back. That'll be one. And then bats, I think you're going to see most of the guys that you've seen before. Sierra as a pinch runner type and defensive guy has value. I think Aledmus comes back. I'm not sure if he comes back at the end of Memphis's playoff run or if he comes back right away. They're going to want him as a utility guy. Even get maybe some start that bat gets going, even get some starts at third base for them.
Luke Voit, you think we'll see him again?
Yep.
Derek Gould is with us. Derek, I wanted to ask you before we let you go, John Rooney had some interesting comments as a Cardinal broadcaster, John Rooney, as it related to the game in Williamsport. And granted, when it's your team and you're in a quote-unquote pennant race, maybe it's not what you want. It seemed like it was an interesting game and a lot of interaction with the Little Leaguers. What was your take on having that game?
Well, allow me to pull away the curtain and make a point, if you don't mind.
Sure.
So they had this game in the middle of August, right? August is a grind. It's a grind for players, it's a grind for the reporters, as Kat knows. You're coming off the trade deadline. There's not been a whole lot of sleep, and now the travel gets just brutal.
Yeah.
At times. That road trip was already tricky because you had 2 days in Boston and then a turnaround early morning flight to Pittsburgh. And then into this mix, they throw a major league regular season game in a small town not near an airport. Okay, so the Cardinals got to take a charter flight. The Cardinals and their broadcast team and all their support staff got to take a charter flight. Jen Langosch and I had to drive. There's no other way for us to get there. So Jennifer Langosch of MLB.com, there's a two-hour rain delay Saturday, covers the game, then hops in the car and drives 4 hours to get there to cover the games in Williamsport.
Right.
I'm a little bit behind. My deadlines are a little bit different. I drive halfway to Altoona just so I can get to the game, then spend 12 hours at Williamsport, cover all that stuff, and not have the charter flight home, mind you, have the four-hour drive the next morning at 6 a.m. to catch a flight in Pittsburgh.
Wow.
So that's the backdrop.
Wow.
You have a complaint from people who have a charter flight taking them to the doorstep of Williamsport, and the rest of us, the press, had a 8-hour round trip drive, all of which was done either in the middle of the night or before sunup. And I want to tell you, it was a fantastic experience. It was an amazing experience. It was not one that I would trade. It was
that cool.
It was hard. What's that?
It was that cool.
It was to see the interaction and to see the guard come down on these players and to see the kids react. I mean, look, there's a moment where we're all walking through one of the dugouts at Williamsport because the play, I'm covering the team and sort of moving with them, and the players are going through the dugout. And Mike Matheny kind of talked about this, so I'm not really describing anything new, but just to give you guys a perspective, is there's a sort of a receiving line of kids on either side. The dugouts are not small. Luke Voigt could barely fit in it. Not big. Luke Voigt could barely fit in it. They're kind of submarine dugouts. And they're slapping hands with the kids. And the facial expressions on the kids and match the facial expressions of the major leaguers. The kids are seeing major leaguers in their dugouts, and the major leaguers who once wanted to get to the Little League World Series are seeing the dugout at Williamsport, which they never got to go to. Dexter Fowler asking for a photo to be taken of him on the mound because he didn't get to play there. I mean, it just was remarkable, and I'll never forget the game. I mean, how many times am I ever going to watch a Major League Baseball game with 2,500 people at it?
Right.
A regular season game. Oh, and by the way, this is the moment that will forever stay with me, and it's just a little thing, but it was a hard shot ground ball that Josh Harrison dove to snag, and all those kids are seeing that game close up for probably the first times in their lives. They haven't seen, well, yeah, definitely. They've never been closer to a major league game with fewer people. And for them, who all play the game really well, they all play the game well enough to get to the Little League World Series, it was at that moment that they realized the level and speed and athleticism and ability of a major league game, which is in another galaxy from the baseball that they know. And as that dawned on all these 12-year-olds and you heard them gasp, that was magic, man. I mean, it was worth every minute.
So you think maybe it's good to do, maybe if they find a way to fit it in somehow without making it too tough or some way, you think it's a good thing?
I don't know how it was too tough. The teams took charter flights.
Yep.
I mean, the one thing that some of the players would want is a day off the next day, which the Cardinals had. And that, you know, the Pirates were a little like, we got to play tomorrow. But, you know, the Pirates were also in their backyard. The Phillies are likely to get it next year, right? They'll go back with the Phillies next year. And the Phillies are even closer. Baltimore is close. New York, not too far away. You know, if they give, you know, the Union will want that day off the next day. And if they do that, you're looking at a really cool event that isn't really any different than what they do every year in spring training, and they get to fly.
Agreed. Derek, thanks for your time this morning, and we'll see what happens with the wrap-up with the Padres tonight.
Excellent. Thanks for having me. Oh, and you know what? I hope he's listening with the newest little one, but congratulations to Tim. It's fantastic. As you guys know, as I know, Kat often talks about his son and is very tired of me talking about my son. I mean, becoming a father is fantastic, and Tim deserves it.
Hear, hear. Thanks so much, Derek.
Thank you, Goldie.